Hey, this is Brandon Crawford from the San Francisco Giants, and you're listening to TortureCast.
You're listening to a podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. Let's go, Giants! With hosts Willie Dills, Chad King, Ben Lee, and Eric Nathanson. Dedicated to the greatest team in Major League Baseball, the San Francisco Giants. This is TortureCast.
It's Monday, September 12th, 2016, and this is episode 111 of the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. I'm your host tonight, Chad King, and along for the ride with me is, the bumpy ride, is one Eric Nathanson, all the way from Florida. How you doing, Eric?
I'm doing good. It's an even ride. They were 500 on the road trip, so it's an even ride. As ugly as it was, it's an even ride. Like, they totally salvaged that. It's been so much better, but I'm doing good down here in Florida. You enjoying the start of football season? I know your Niners are on tonight.
Yeah, Niners are on right now. I'm keeping an eye on it here, you know, in the corner of my eye, out of the computer here. Same with the Giants game. We got both games going on right now, so it's an odd time. Well, we usually do Monday nights, but it's odd that all Bay Area sports is kind of like happening right now as we're recording this, but so it is. This is the only time we could get it in. Yeah, like you said, the Giants have turned it around a little bit here, and I think when you start a road trip 1-4, and especially the way they lost a couple of those games, I mean, I thought they were going 1-9 on the road trip, to be honest. I mean, I thought all the resolve was going to be taken out of them, and they were just going to fall flat on their faces. I mean, they just had some heart-crushing, nut-punching defeats there. It was hard to take. A lot of people were throwing beer bottles at the TV, you know, that kind of thing around the country, but I don't know. What were your impressions about the team kind of rallying back from a 1-4, going 4-1, and finishing the road trip even?
Well, the funny thing is the one was the night that they gave up three runs in the ninth inning to the Rockies. Mm-hmm. So their only loss was a blown save that they were leading by two runs in the ninth inning. Mm-hmm. So I think it shows that they're on a bit of the uptick. You know, they kind of did what I was hoping they would do. The bats started to come alive as they went through hitters parks, Colorado, Arizona. And after that, you know, crappy, you know, flying in and just having a weak game to start the series against Colorado, they kind of woke up a little bit and they got it going again. Because there were some games against Chicago that were just, they were like, rip your heart out. Like, they were right there and the Cubs still managed to pull it in. Russell came through with a late base hit early on in one of them. And then Lester was just so dominant in the other one. And then what is it? I don't remember the Sunday game, but they kind of turned things around lately.
Yeah, that was the extra inning game where
that's it.
Casilla blew another innings. One. And it went yes. into extra innings. And then it was Jason Hayward with another bloop that some people thought maybe Pagan could have gotten to. But that's okay. We'll talk about that another time. The four games in Chicago were really rough. They only won one of them, but all four were one-run games. All four were tight, postseason kind of feeling atmosphere. The crowd seemed to be like that as well. I actually engaged in a tweet with Dave Fleming and asked him, is it like a postseason atmosphere there right now? And he said, absolutely. So someone who's been there before and was there at the time agreed that it definitely was like that. So, you know, the Giants know how to play those games, and I think that's part of the reason why they played the Cubs so tight. They wanted those games so badly. They wanted to show the Cubs, we're not rolling over. We were matching you win for win during the entire first half. We've fallen off our horse a little bit, but we're going to get right back on, and we're going to try and close out this season. Unfortunately, the series didn't work out in their favor because of a couple of bloop hits, and like you said, Lester was pretty dominant in that one game, but they came back and they got healthy against the Rockies and the Diamondbacks, so that didn't turn out too bad, ending with a sweep. And of course they head in tonight against the San Diego Padres, so hopefully they can beat up on these teams right now. They are losing 1-0, but it's only the fourth inning, so
it looked like they were dead when they lost 6-0 and Matty Mo gave up a bunch of runs in Colorado. Cargo hit, I think, a grand slam when they lost 6-0 to on Labor Day, it seemed like such a bottom. Like they came out of that torturous, tough, hard-fought series, and then they laid just such a goose egg, such a crappy game. But it seemed like they kind of knew they had to do that to get it out. And it was since then that they've really, you know, been the Giants that we know, aside from Casilla. I mean, he's the overriding theme. And, like, what is this? Two of the losses we talked about? It could have been a 7-3 road trip.
Yeah, if it wasn't for him, it would have been 7-3.
And two. It was, yeah. I mean,
you take away a bloop.
He's out as
even better.
I mean, he's out as the closer. And it's like, finally, I guess, but they don't have a much better option right now.
Yeah, everybody was calling for Casilla's head, and I, of course, have defended Casilla for a while, not until a couple of weeks ago. It really was that Chicago series where I finally said, you know what, they need to make a change, I think, for the psyche of the team. I think if the fans are going out there, I mean, we're not players or anything like that, but if fans are thinking every single time if it's going to be a close game, oh, God, is Casilla coming in? Oh, God, here he is. Oh, boy, what's going to happen now? You can't tell me that none of the players that are actually on the field aren't having a little bit of those thoughts creep in. I mean, you got to have confidence in your closer. And when the closer just keeps blowing games, and these guys work so hard, and some of these games were so torturous, and, you know, there were comebacks, there were just hard-fought, scratched, you know, runs, you know, with move them over and hit them in kind of scenarios. And they claw and they scratch so hard to get that lead in the ninth inning, and they're ready to win it. And you get a guy who you just have no confidence in. And I think it could start to bleed through the team and really rub off. And I just didn't want to see that kind of confidence betray the other players as well. They would never say it publicly, but I got to imagine some of them felt that way.
So do you think the hitters got together and kind of said, all right, guys, we need to take care of this shit on our own. We can't leave this up to the bullpen anymore. We can't be handing this over 3-2, you know, 2-1. We need to start scoring runs because, like, something lit a fire under them after that just bummer of a game on Monday, and they seem to be hitting the ball.
Yeah, they are hitting the ball much better the last six games, but it is Colorado and Arizona, and not the best pitching in the world. So I think we got to hold off on that for a little bit, but I do think that the hitters recognize they need to step up their game because they've been just as bad as the bullpen the entire second half. The starting pitching has not been that bad. Their overall numbers are actually pretty damn good. It really has been the bullpen and the hitting. So, I mean, if the hitting can click right now and the starting pitching stays where it's at, maybe the bullpen isn't going to have to be relied upon as heavily as it has been. And it's been failing miserably for most of the second half. You know, it's unfortunate because the Giants right now sit 3.5 behind the Dodgers. They won in the Yankee Stadium tonight. So that they'll end this, you know, the night either 3 or 4 back. You shave off, you know, Casilla has 8 blown saves. The bullpen itself has more than 20 blown saves. That doesn't mean all of them are losses. I hope everyone recognizes that, right? You can still have a blown save and win the game, but they definitely lost most of those games. And if you just take away 3 or 4 or 5 of those games, you're still well above the average in terms of number of blown saves for a team in Major League Baseball. So if you just shave it a little bit closer to the average, but still higher than the average, I mean, they're going to be tied with the Dodgers right now, maybe even have a 1 or 2-game lead, and definitely a comfortable lead in the wild card. So these bullpen issues may come down to bouncing them from the playoffs should that happen. Because if the Giants do miss the playoffs, I think it's going to be by a game or two. It's not going to be by 5 or 6. I think we all know that. And if it does come down to that 1 or 2 games, everyone, I think, is just going to turn around and immediately point at Casilla and others and go, if it wasn't for that one game in Chicago, if it wasn't for that one game in Colorado, if it wasn't for that one game in San Diego with the balk off, if it wasn't for that one game against with Jake Lamb, oh, they won that game. But
which game? Which game with Jake Lamb? Jake Lamb owns Santiago Casilla.
Yeah, well, the first time in AT&T, Arizona did win that game, so you could point to that one. I meant the last one where they tied it and eventually won it, but still.
They play a lot of one-run games. They're 27-24 in one-run games. I mean, that's a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about 51. What is that? That's a third of the games that they're playing are one-run games. If the Giants score a bunch of runs, they usually win. They've won 19 games by 5-plus runs, and they've only lost 8 games like that. So that shows that, you know, if they're going to blow somebody out, they go and blow it out. But they've played a lot of the close one-run games, and the bullpen has been a factor. That's why I hope Derek Law, I guess he's coming back Wednesday. I hope he's healthy. I hope Bochy, like, gives him a shot and he does something big in, like, a Dodger series or maybe this weekend against the Cardinals. As it stands in the wild card, the Giants, I don't want to say they're comfortable because you said if they make the playoffs, but, like, looking at it today, they're two ahead of the Mets and mm-hmm. 2.5 ahead of St. Louis because they both lost tonight.
Right.
So I think they're comfortable enough in that they're going to make – it's one of those three teams that's going to get knocked out. I think the Giants are – fine there. I think they have a shot at the division still. I really do. It's as crazy as it sounds. I think being able to hit in Colorado and Arizona kind of might have gotten their sea legs back under them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they absolutely do. I mean, when it was five games, it was looking pretty doubtful, but things can happen very quickly. And then, boom, they got two games in 2 days, and suddenly it's three. So just as quickly, it could be down to one, right? But the key, of course, is that they have six games left against the Dodgers. And that's the only way the Giants are going to win the division. If they split those six games with the Dodgers, I don't think they're making up three or four games elsewhere because there's not enough games, right?
No, there's not.
They cannot split with the Dodgers. Certainly can't lose. That's the nail in the coffin. But they have to take minimum is four out of six. But to really have a good shot, I mean, I don't see how you can't have your eyes on a 5-1 record against them. You have to shoot for something like that because 4-6 is only going to gain one game for you, right? That's not going to help too much.
Yeah.
So I really do think that that's what they need to shoot for. Otherwise, the Giants are going to have to do what they've done and they did in 2014, and it worked out fine in the end. But the wild card is just such a crapshoot, and no one wants to do that. They'd rather have it than not, but holy shit. That's interesting because, you know, Major League Baseball has...
I think they're...
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say the road through the playoffs gets tougher, I think, this year as a wild card because then they got to come out of the chute playing the Cubs in a five-game series. That's a team I think they match up well against, but they need seven games, not five, to beat them.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. The wild card winner is going to end up facing the Cubs.
Otherwise, there's no way they're going to be able to catch them. They need to go into L.A. and, like, take the first or the first two and set a tone to, like, give them a chance to – keeps pressing on the accelerator. That's after having a good week this week, if that's possible.
Yeah.
You know, they really need to take 2-3 or sweep San Diego to get this all started.
Yeah, they do. And just to let you know, your Skype dropped there for about 5 seconds. And then
I wondered.
It automatically called you back. So I think everyone's just going to hear a little bit of a you drop off and then there's a Skype sound. But anyway, it doesn't matter. Get your Wi-Fi.
Yeah, I lost you for a minute there. Yeah, I wish I could.
I know. So one of the things that I want to talk about is specifically about Casilla. Bochy has been known to adapt when he needs to, specifically in the playoffs, right? Lincecum in the bullpen, Zito off of the roster. He's made moves like this down the road, or I should say in the past. But with Casilla, he almost seemed to manage him like a Dusty Baker. You know what I mean? He just kept with him. Shot himself in the foot again, kept with him, banged his head again, kept with him. And I know I was the one saying this in the beginning, who else do you have to turn to? But when it's failure after failure after failure, and it may cost you your season, you have to at least try something different. I mean, don't you agree? I mean, it may not work out, but Casilla clearly is not working out.
Now, I was surprised with how long Bochy stuck with Casilla. I can't remember anybody in the past that he would have given this long of a rope to. I would have, with Law down, Romo should have gotten a shot at it. I really think he should have been the guy thrown out there, both Chicago and Colorado, instead of Casilla. Because as much as I love Joe Nathan, I really don't want him throwing hugely important pitches in this season. I just don't.
Neither do I.
I love the man to death, but he's like, you know, 84 years old or something. So I just prefer that he comes in and does good things for the team when they're like winning big. So I didn't like that Bochy was kind of forced into doing that the other night. But Nathan came through in one of them, and one of them he didn't. So I think if he had used Romo before, I was really surprised. I was really surprised with how long he stuck with Casilla. And mm-hmm. I said it earlier, I hope Derek Law comes back healthy and show something big right away, because I think he's the one that could actually be at the back end.
Yeah.
The way he's got a master of his pitches, the way the ball I mean, he's got movement that Casilla is supposed to be having. Yeah. You know when Casilla's on, when that ball just drops off the table. And Law seems to have that going on all the time. He has that low, it's a sinking fastball that just totally frustrates hitters, and they swing right over it.
And I'm not sure what's up with Casilla, if it's a mental thing or a physical thing. He's still throwing hard. He's throwing 95, 96. But his breaking ball is just hanging almost every time. Even the outs are loud. He's hanging everything. I don't know what's going on there, if it's a blister or mechanical problems or what have you. But I agree. I think Derek Law is probably the guy that needs to have a shot at it. I know that a lot of people also like Hunter Strickland, but I think he's too homer happy, you know, and he walks a little too much as well. He can blow guys away with 100, you know, mile an hour fastball, but we've all seen it happen before, and it's already happened a few times this year where he just grooves one. You know, these are major league hitters. They know how to hit a fastball. And if you lose a little location or a backup slider is in the wrong location and slides over the heart of the plate, boom. I mean, it is what it is. But you, like you said, Law's more deceptive. And I think he pitches to contact better, although he still has an incredible strikeout rate. Don't get me wrong. But he pitches to weak contact, I'd say, better than Hunter Strickland at this point. And, of course, his ERA is sub-2 right now, and hopefully his physical issues are going to be behind him for the last couple weeks of the season. But yeah, I think that's the guy you have to go with right now. Definitely not a 41-year-old Joe Nathan. God love him, but I mean,
wonder,
he's 1 year younger than me, for God's sakes, and he's still playing Major League Baseball. It's crazy.
That's true. I love Joe Nathan. Yeah. Joe Nathan was one of my dad's guys, so Joe Nathan's always one of my guys.
Yeah,
Corey Guerin's another guy to get big outs late. He seems to have the Frisbee Sergio-type slider going. He gave up the hit to Russell in Chicago, but like other than that, and even that was like a broken bat bloop.
Yeah.
Other than that, Corey Guerin's somebody that I think Bochy seems to trust and will turn to in these matchup situations if he needs to right now. Because he doesn't mind start the inning with like Javi and then, you know, come back with Guerin and then switch to Osich or, you know, flipping around like that. You know, Guerin will come in, then Javi, and then he'll bring in, you know, Law to finish it off, something like that. I could see him adapting, like you said, to doing something like that, because if they're going to use the committee, he's going to use the committee.
Right. Well, you know, boy, I'm just looking at right now, they're being shut down by Paul Clemens.
Yeah, I have no idea. I'd never heard of this guy.
I know. Look at this. Shut down, 2 hits over 4 innings so far. They're only down 1-0, but we were just talking about maybe they're getting their hitting shoes back on. They're not showing it tonight so far, so they got to...
Well, it's because they've never faced this guy, so he's Cy Young, you know?
How many times has this happened? And we joke about it on Twitter and on our podcast... But you get a veteran out there, and except for Kershaw, they have a pretty good shot at beating him. They've beaten a lot of good pitchers this year. They finally beat Greinke, by the way, of course, the other night. He was 9-1 against the Giants before then. He is one of the few Giant killers that we can't stand. But it seems to be, these Russ Striplings and other guys like this that come up, you know, for their first year, and the Giants just seem to be mystified by the rookies. I don't get it. I don't know if anyone's done it, but I would love to tabulate. It would take way too long. Tabulate all of the rookie starts and to see how it compares to, let's say, you know, veterans that have X amount of wins, you know, and see how those match up.
That's funny. The Kershaw thing, you mentioned Clayton Kershaw. It looks like we're going to get bum Kershaw matchups in each of the last two Giants Dodgers series.
Isn't that insane?
Yeah, it's lining up that way. Like, I even went back, like, I didn't know if it was mentioned anywhere. I kind of, like, skimmed through it, and then I was like, wait a second. Wait, they both pitched on Friday. There's no off days. Oh, my God, they're totally going to line up. It's kind of cool that we get that to end the season as fans. Is we're getting the Giants-Dodgers pennant race. At least we get, you know, the whole Kershaw-Baumgartner thing. And you're right. They'll scratch by a few more hits against Kershaw than they would against Clemens. I had to look at his name again.
Oh, man.
It's like the Despondent guy. He absolutely, we turn that guy into. They face pitchers they faced before in the next two nights, so that's good. They're getting hits tonight. Yeah, they got 2 hits the second time through the order. But, you know, Angel Pagan sitting there in the 2-hole is kind of killing them a little bit at times. And Denard just came out of that, hit a double to start the Cubs series, and then not get a hit again until Arizona.
Yeah, I think he was like 0-36 or something at one point. It was
that was some ridiculous. Yeah, that was ridiculous. It was like it was. He literally went a full week without a base hit.
Yeah,
he went 8 full games without a base hit, and he's the leadoff man.
That's a rough over.
Right, it's tough to win games when that happens. It really is. And if Pagan's not doing anything behind him, you kind of you lose it, and you get why Buster is not driving through the ball. I mean. He's the one that he can't seem to get it, you know, over the fence or anything like that. So if they're not doing it up there, it's hard to score runs, which is why these games have been torture.
Yeah. So, I mean, who's hot right now? You already mentioned him. Hunter Pence has been playing out of his mind lately. 571 over his last 7 games, 8 runs in just 2 games in Arizona. He was just all over the place, making fantastic catches and scoring and hitting the ball, had a couple home runs. Samardzija, who's pitching tonight, has actually been pretty solid over his last 7 games with a 2.45 ERA. So he seems maybe he's settling down right now, but he is kind of Dr. Jekyll, you know, and Hyde right now, or I'd say for the whole season. He'll go through these streaks where he's very, very good and then have 4 or 5 clunkers in a row where it's the long ball. He's just given up way too many gopher balls. Who's not? You already mentioned him. Span, of course. He had that long hitless streak. Brandon Belt. The whole second half has been bad for him. He was hitting 302 before the break, and of course he was an all-star. He's hitting 223 since the break, and that's actually gone up a little bit recently. He's been closer to the Mendoza line for most of the half. And wow. Buster Posey, even though he's still hitting 290-ish right now, he has not hit a home run. Well, he had another out tonight, so that's 167 at-bats. I mean, that's a third of a season. That's crazy. I mean, Buster Posey is not... doesn't hit 35 home runs a year, but he hits 20 to 25. And what is he sitting on right now? 12, I think? Something like that?
12, so, yeah. He's at 12 right now.
He's going to end this season with one of his career lows, I think, in home runs and RBI. I think he's only at 60-something RBI as well. He's not going to get to 90 or his normal range. But
no, he can't. He can't. He has to have been hurt. I mean, that has to explain the Buster.
There's a lot of people who think that, yeah, because he did miss a few games with his back stiffness and those kinds of things. And you know, maybe he doesn't have the same torque on the bat when he's swinging, and maybe that's an explanation for the lack of power. But his average is still okay because he's still, you know, his hand-eye coordination is okay. He can still poke it somewhere. But,
yeah.
You know, what I don't want to see is, and it's way too early to say this. Don't worry. This is not a conspiracy theory. I'm not freaking out or anything like that. But... what if this is kind of where Buster Posey starts turning a little bit in the sense of, you know, he's not old. He's only 26, I think.
29.
Oh, God. I'm way off. Never mind. 29. So he is turning that 30 hill here coming the next year. And for a catcher, you add a few years onto that body. And I just don't want it to start to become, you know, he becomes like a Joe Mauer. Like, he's a good hitter, but, like, no power whatsoever. You know, no speed, that kind of thing.
Oh, wow. That's a great comp. I hadn't thought of that because that's what all he's been. His base hits, they're nice. They're solid. They're clean strokes through the hole. You know, he'll shoot a gap and get to coast into second every now and then. Yeah. He had a triple the other day. But, you know, he's got warning track power for the longest time right now. It just doesn't seem to want to get out of there.
I don't know. I mean, since he's had solid years, but I just don't want to see it start to happen. Again, way too early to say. Maybe, you know, in the offseason he'll bulk up, or maybe they're going to talk about that aforementioned switch to first base at some point in the near future. And I know they got Belt on an extension, so it's going to be really hard to do that unless you move him. But and I don't see that happening anytime soon. Yeah. Belt as a left fielder is scary. So
I don't want that. No, that's Mac's job for next year. We'll let that happen.
That is not a good thing. So. And the last thing I wanted to mention tonight, because we got to wrap it up here, unfortunately, the schedule is compressed. Postseason projections. So I was going to get to this. MLB.com uses FanGraphs to run these projections, and they run basically a bunch of scenarios on the computer with strength of schedule, home road, all those things, how hot a team's been lately. And right now, because the Dodgers do have a lead on the Giants, they do have an 86% chance of winning the division, the Giants at 14. Wild card, however, they predict the Giants at about a 73% chance for an overall 87% chance of making the postseason. They have the Dodgers listed at 99.6. So they almost have a virtual lock for the Dodgers to at least get the wild card. And it's just interesting to look at these numbers because they change every day. But, you know, they're giving the Giants basically almost a 9 out of 10 chance to make the playoffs. That's how I feel.
That's about how I feel, too.
I'd say about a 90%, 85% chance of making the playoffs because, you know, both teams have to overcome the Giants for them to be knocked out. If one team overtakes them, they're still in, right?
Right.
But both of them have to do that. And the chances of both teams getting hot are pretty low. Plus, the Giants have to play pretty poorly, which they have been. So that's not a stretch of the imagination.
Their lead's 2 right now, and even with 20 games left, like there are 19, 2 is a big lead at this point. It's tough to make up 2 games.
No, it is. It is. And I think a huge series that's going to dictate what happens to one of these teams is going to be the Cardinals series coming up. Yeah. That's going to be a big one. It's 4 games as well. That's a lot of games. In fact, I'm going to the game on Friday night. So
nice.
That's going to be fun. But, oh, man, if the Giants can take 3 out of 4 – you know, that's probably going to kill the Cardinals at that point. They might be 4 back at that point, give or take. And it's going to be really hard for them to get back in. But conversely, if the Cardinals take 3 out of 4, you know, they could be tied with the Giants. And the Mets, who knows where they'll be, but maybe all 3 will be within a game of one another. And it's anyone's game.
Well, I'm kind of curious to see how the Cardinals come out because Kyle Hendricks almost no-hit them tonight. He took a no-hitter into the ninth. And if the Cubs win again tomorrow, they can take the division on Wednesday in St. Louis. And so I wonder if that happens, if the Cardinals would just come in like dead, you know? It's got to be disheartening to see the Cubs do that, even though they lost them in the playoffs last year. Or they'll be, you know, full of vengeance and fire and piss and vinegar and all that stuff.
Right.
You know, I've no idea. So I do. I wonder if the Cubs series is going to dictate how the Cardinals play against the Giants, which is fine by me because the Giants play like the Cubs do in a sense, and the Cubs have been able to handle the Cardinals this year. And I think, what did the Giants do against the Cardinals earlier this season?
In St. Louis. I can't remember off the top of my head. I honestly don't remember.
I'm up there now, St. Louis. Oh, 1-2, but one of them was one of those close games. One was okay, that's right. They lost 2 out of 3 in St. Louis.
In St. Louis? Okay.
Yeah. But I think that dictates it. And same with the Giants. If they can keep a roll going against the Padres, they might feel like they're unstoppable. And the offense might be clicking the way we know it was back in May and June.
Live update. Padres scored another run.
Yeah.
So.
That's the bottom of the fifth. There's 5 innings.
Oh, no. Plenty time. By the time people listen to this, they'll know the score, the final score anyway.
All right. Well, then I predict the Giants are going to win this game 7-4.
Nice. I like it. I do. I think it's going to be, I don't know why, but it's that rookie thing again. I think it's going to be like 3-1 Padres.
God, I hope not.
Bit of a pessimist with this rookie on the mound.
I hope they keep hitting. I said it last week, or I think when Casilla was blowing a save, that I kind of give up on my expectations for the rest of this season. Like, I used to have expectations of ripping through and winning the division and, you know, getting to the NLCS. And now it's just kind of like, just get to the playoffs and everything else will be gravy, you know? Yeah. I'll be happy with everything else because they flirted with disaster here. And it's fortunate that the Giants are 1.5 up or 2 up in the wild card and still have a chance to catch the Dodgers.
After everything's said and done, at least they still have a chance. It's not pretty. It's kind of ugly, but, you know, you think you're going out for a steak dinner and you lose your wallet, but then you find a buck and you still can get a taco somewhere. It's like, at least I got some food. All right. Well, I got to wrap it up here. That's going to do it for episode 111 of the TorchaCast. We're going to be putting it up on our normal, website there. It's going to be on iTunes, Stitcher, etc. I will be going to the game on Friday night. So look for updates there. I'm going to be tweeting like crazy, and hopefully the Giants will take care of the Cardinals. But I think that's about Eric. Eric, you got anything on the site lately?
No, I don't. I had a problem. I tweeted out a picture. Somebody that followed me on Twitter saw I totally shattered my computer. And
that's right.
I did. I fell right on it. And It was totally by accident, but it was a blessing in disguise because that computer's been giving me fits for a long time, and the programs that I need to run weren't running. So now that I have something new and run, you know, humming again, and the keyboard's new and slick, there might be some things in the work during the pennant race here. So I'll probably get, you know, I don't have anything to preview, but there's a possibility there'll be stuff coming because this keyboard's like, just inviting me.
They have like buns of stone. Did you sit on it or something, or was it your hip?
No, actually, it was my chest.
Oh, that's right, your chest, you told me.
Yeah, I fell on top of it. I hit the top corner of the laptop screen.
Your pecs are too big.
Apparently, and I crunched it. I had to make sure I wasn't impaled by it at first. It hit like right on my my chest, right under the shoulder and everything. I had a big bruise on my chest for like a week.
Yeah.
It was kind of something.
It was a first for everything. I've definitely never heard of that one. Crushing a computer. Yeah, with your chest.
And it was because I dropped a Tupperware lid. It got away from me.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right.
I've still never broken a bone in my body, but I've managed to shatter a computer screen with my chest.
Might be the only person that's ever had those two things, so.
Yeah.
All right, well, that'll wrap it up for 111 for the absent Willie and Ben. This is Chad and Eric signing off, and we're going to see you definitely next week. This is a stretch drive here for the season. We're not going to be out for a couple of weeks. We had the Labor Day holiday and some scheduling conflicts, but we're working them out because we want to go every week the rest of the way and into the postseason, because that will happen. So we'll see you next time for episode 112. Boom.
A big thank you to everybody for listening to the Torture Cast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. Follow us on Twitter at TortureCast. You can also like us on Facebook or check out our blog at torturecast.com. I also want to say thank you to Ashcon and Bailey for letting us use their song Feeling Like a Giant for our intro. For Ben Lee and Chad King, my name is Willie Dills saying, we'll see you next time.